Okay, so we're on the Gemara Daf Chaf Hey Amud Beis. If you remember, we brought the Gemara brought a very lengthy braisa, going through all four cases of the Mishnah, whether it's Masachik Bekuvia, Malva Beribis, Mafri Chayonim, Seichrei Shvius, going through every single case, and mainly outlining the details of how one is Chayza B'Tshuva. But if you remember, what was the big question? Because when the Gemara discussed Mafri Chayonim, it says the same would apply also to a behema. You can either have Mafri Chayonim, birds, or the same with the behema. And this is really the Gemara's question. Bishloima, if Mafri Chayonim means some type of bird race or bird competition, then presumably fine. So you can have the same thing with an animal as well. You can have an animal race or an animal competition. We can understand that. But if Mafri Chayonim means Oro means wild birds who just fly into my house, but they don't really belong to me. And we said, therefore, Me'ikra Din, there's no Issa to take them. It's only Mitzad Hilchas Darkei Shalom. It's not proper Gezel. And therefore, they're Posel Eidos Midrabanan, fine. But how does that apply to a behemoth? How does that apply to behemoth? Behemoths don't fly into my garden. Birds do. So how can the Braisa possibly say that the halacha of Mafri Chayonim applies also to a behemoth? It makes sense if it's a fight or a competition or a race, but it does not seem to make sense if it's this halacha of Darkei Shalom when you have a wild bird flying into my garden. So have a look at the Gemara, this is where we're up to. Maybe just go back a little bit. It's about the 10th or 11th last narrow line. The first word on the line is la'aniyim. La'aniyim. You have that Gemara? Well, the Gemara says, Ktani mihas. We have at least stated in this braisa behema, comma. Bishleima lamanda omar, according to the manda omar who translated mafri chayonim as the following, quote unquote. Will your bird come first? Well, that makes sense. Hainu de mishkachas lo, so we can find the equivalent case also for behema. If you can have a bird race, you can have an animal race. Elo lemanda oma oro, comma. But according to the manda oma oro, who says that it's a bird who flies into my rishus, it doesn't really become owned by me, etc., etc. Behema bas hochihi? Question mark. Is a behema a bas hochi? Is a behema shaykh? This whole concept of just finding itself a wild animal wandering into somebody else's rishus. What's going on? A behema, by the way, and this is really the underlying understanding of the question, a behema, by definition, is a domesticated animal, which don't run wild. In other words, nobody denies, of course you can have an animal that's wild, a wild dog or a wild this, that can, I guess, can wander from rishus to rishus, just like a bird. But then you can't call it a behema. A behema, by definition, which is a cow or a sheep, is a domesticated animal. So if it's a domesticated animal, then the whole concept of a wild bird flying from place to place, by definition, would not apply by an animal. That's the Gemara's question. It's a behemoth. It's a behemoth. Says the Gemara in, comma. Yes, it does make sense. There is a case of an animal which on the one hand is considered wild and therefore may indeed just wander from rishus to rishus, and yet nonetheless we call it a behema. What is that? Says the Gemara in Beshoir Habor, a wild shoir. So the shoir Habor has a very, very interesting status. On the one hand, it's wild. What do we call, what's the terminology always for a wild animal, not a behemoth? A chaya, a wild animal. So obviously we cannot be dealing with a classic out and out wild animal, because then we wouldn't call it a behemoth. The Braisa clearly called it a behemoth. So a shoir habor, this wild ox, on the one hand is wild, which means it's not owned by anybody, it's not domesticated, and may just well wander from garden to garden. On the other hand, we still, for some reason, classify it as a behemoth. And that's the Gemara's teretz. So therefore, if I've got this wild ox that wanders around, roams freely, then the exact same principle that applies by the Yoinah can apply to this as well, which means it may well be sitting in my back garden at the moment, but it does not mean it's mine. It's not mine. It's wild. Is my neighbor allowed to take it? The answer is, well, Mina Torah, it's absolutely fine because it's not Gezel. But Halacha, he will not be allowed to take it for Darkei Shalom reasons. And that's what the Braisa means, that Mafricha Yoinim can apply the identical case, the identical explanation to a behemoth. In which case? In the specific case of Shoir Habor. So look at the Gemara explains this now in greater detail. In B'Shoir Habor, Ukeman de Omar, and this follows the opinion that says that Shoir Habor min behemahu. There is an opinion that holds that Shoir Habor is a species of a behemah. Now, what does that mean? Says the Gemara, the Tanan, we have a Mishnah in Chulin. Shoir Habor min behemahu. Rabbi Yossi Oima min chayo. We have a machloikas Tanoim between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachomim about whether Shoir Habor is a min behemah or a min chayo. Now, what does that mean? Why would there be a halachic machloikas debating the classification of a shoir habor, whether it's a behemah or a chayah? Who cares? What difference does it make to halacha? And the answer is, as we're about to see in Rashi, it does make a difference to halacha. Because sometimes there are halachics that apply to a behemah and not a chayah. There are some halachas, for example, with regard to kisui hadam, with regard to chelev, kisui hadam, for example, does not apply to a behemoth. If you shecht a cow, Moshe Zelig, you're half off the screen. I wonder if your computer's moved. When you shecht, oh, I see it clearly now. If you shecht a bird, as we know, what do you have to do with the blood? You've got to cover the blood, the mitzvah of kisui hadam. If you shecht a chayo, you have to do the same. If you shecht a behemah, you do not need to do kisui hadam. That's what the Torah says. If you shecht a cow or a sheep, you do not need to do a kisui hadam. What about a shoir habor? On the one hand, it's a shoir. A shoir is a behemah. It's an ox. It's a cow. So it would not need kisui hadam. But if it's wild, and maybe we'll then consider it not as a behemah, as a chayo, well, then you would have to do kisui hadam. So that's why it really does make a difference whether we're going to classify this as a behemoth or as a chayo. So the Gemara says that for purposes of our discussion, we clearly are going with the opinion that holds that the shoir haboir is a behemoth. And that's why the Braisa said that mafriche yoinim can apply also to a case of a behemoth, in which case, surely behemoths are domesticated. You're right, but I've got one case of an animal which, yes, on the one hand is classified as a behemoth, but on the other hand, it's wild. So look at Rashi. Have you got the long Rashi? Shoir Habor. Shoir Habor. Doime lechayo. On the one hand, it is similar to a chayo. In what respect? In the fact that it's wild. Ve'im gadloi bebesoi. And if you try breeding it at home, it will not work. Hoilech lemidborois. It walks around to the desert, to empty pastures. It's not a domesticated type animal. umate hachayos lovoy acharov, and it tricks other chayos to follow it because it really does look like a chayo. The yesh behen gezel, why? Mipnei darkei shalom. And the concept of gezel applies to it, not essentially, not mi'ikar adin, but mipnei darkei shalom. Shemevi oison min ha'bivorin. What's a bivorin? Bivorin is an animal, a stable or a coop. Just like in the case of a bird where it makes its home in my birdhouse, but it doesn't mean it belongs to me. So too, the Sheraboy may also make its home in my bivorin, in my barn or stable, but it does not mean it belongs to me. And the proof is because the nature of this animal is it wanders around and ends up in the midbar. So once again, it's really the exact same status as the Yoino. It might currently be residing in my home. It does not really belong to me. The only reason why you cannot take it is for Darkei Shalom reasons, but that is enough to render somebody who does this as posel le'edus midrabono. Says Rashi in conclusion, v'ha dekorile behema, comma, and that which we call this Sheir Aboir, a behema, quote unquote, command Oma would follow the opinion that says, min behema hu, comma. It follows the opinion that says that yes, it's considered to be a type of an animal, a behema. Upluktayu, and this machloikus is what? Le'inyan, with regard to hatoras chelboy, the kisui hadam. We mentioned the example of kisui hadam. There's another example of chelev. Are you allowed to eat the chelev, the fat of an animal? The answer is it depends whether it's a behema or a chayo. So that would be another example of why it would be so important to decide whether a Sheir HaBor is classified as a behema or a chayo. Why would we care? We do care. We want to know, number one, is the chelev mutter to eat? Number two, is there a chi of kisui hadam? So in fact, it's a machlekes. So we are following the opinion that it's considered a behema, and that's why the Braisa says that mafriche yoinim can apply also to a behema, which means therefore in the final analysis. But obviously, in a regular normal behema, a regular normal behema, obviously there is no such thing as mafriche yoinim. Yes, you can have a cow race or a cow competition, but the second explanation of ora, where it wanders in from rishus to rishus, etc., etc., you can't have that with a regular animal because by definition, if it's a behema, then it's domesticated and doesn't walk around. So the one single solitary case you can have it is with a shayr habayr. This Sheir HaBoir, on the one hand, is classified as an animal, that's true, but on the other hand, it's wild. And if it's wild, if it also wanders from Rashus to Rashus, therefore, even though it's sitting in my house at the moment, it's not considered mine. It's also to take only for Darkei Shalom reasons, which would mean in the final analysis that anybody who does this is not a proper gazlan, it's only midrabonon, and therefore he is posel le'edus. Okay, with this now, we move ahead. Says the Gemara. Tana hoisifu aleihem. We've been mentioning, and we've been discussing so far, four cases of the Mishnah. As mentioned, Mesachik Bekuvia, Malve Beribis, Soichare Shvius, and finally, Mafriche Yoinim. So there's a Braisa that now adds a whole bunch of examples over and above our Mishnah. Very important to remember the historical context, as we'll see in a moment. Which came first? The Mishnah came first. The Braisas, very, very, very important to remind ourselves, who compiled the Braisas? It's also Tanoim. It's not like the Gemara, which is Amoraim, hundreds of years later. The Braisas were also authored by Tanoim, but they were a little bit later than the Mishnah. And essentially, the function of the Braisa is to fill in the missing holes of the Mishnah. So here we have a classic case in point. There are four cases, as mentioned, that are mentioned in our Mishnah. The Braisa comes along and adds a few more examples. And the obvious question which we're going to have to ask is, why were they not initially included in the Mishnah? If the Mishnah only mentioned four cases and it needed a Braisa to add some more, then clearly for some reason we thought that all of these new additions actually do not make you Posel Eidos. And that's why they were omitted from the Mishnah. I needed the Braisa to reinstate them. So we're going to have to go through all of these additions and work out why did we initially think they were okay and why in the final analysis are they indeed Posel Eidos? Says the Gemara. Tana, we have a Braisa that says, Hoisifu aleyen, two cases. Hagazlonim, v'hachamsonim. Gazlonin obviously means those who are involved with theft. They're a gazlon. The plural is gazlonin. And what's chamsonin? They're not over gezel, they're over chomos. What's chomos? Look at Rashi. Says Rashi, chamson, yohiv domi, he gives money. Hello, she'ein rotzoin habaylim limkoir. But it is not the rotzoin of the owner to sell it. So if you come up to me and say, listen, I'd like to buy your table for $500, and I say, thank you very much, but I'm not interested in selling it. And you force me to do so, you give me the money, but I didn't really sell it with rotzoin, then that's not out and out gezel, because after all, you did pay for it, but it is chomos. There is, by the way, a discussion. Does chomos mean that the seller remains until the end unwilling to sell it? It's just that you threw the money down and took my table, but I was still claiming I do not want to sell it. Or is it that you forced me to sell it and eventually, therefore, I capitulated and I agreed, but I didn't want to do so in the beginning? There is a discussion what exactly is chomos. But either way, Rashi seems to say, ein rotzein habaylim limkor, the baylim does not want to sell it. So now we've got two additions over and above the Mishnah. Both of these cases are not mentioned in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. Gazlan Doiraisa, who? Question mark. Haven't we already established? We mentioned Tosfos right in the beginning of this sugya. Tosfos says our whole Mishnah is a list of those who are Posel Eidos Midrabbonon, not Doiraisa. So what does that mean now? Hoisifu, they added afterwards. What do you mean they added? Who added? Chachomim added? A gazlan was always osa. A gazlan's osa min ha-Torah. How can you say hoisifu, this is some sort of later addition? Why is it doiraisa? Because as we've always mentioned, if you look in the original pasuk, what does it say? Al toshes rosho eid, and the Torah clearly talks about it as somebody who's over gezel. So how can you possibly say the Hoisifu, that Chazal added this example to the list? You don't need it to be added. It's just Osam and Atayra. Says the Gemara, no, we're not talking about regular Gezel. You're 100% right. A regular Gazlan, I don't need Chachamim to be Moisif. It's explicit in the Pasuk. What are we talking about? Loi Nitzricho. When is this required? It's needed to teach me Elo, Lemetzias, Cheresh, Shoita, Vekotan. What is, as we always mention when we come across this group of three that always goes together, Cheresh, Shoita, Vekotan? What would we say is the common denominator between a Cheresh, Shoita, Vekotan? All three lack da'as. A katan is not yet bar mitzvah, a cheresh, somebody who can't hear and can't speak, and a shaita, somebody who doesn't have seichel, doesn't have das. That's the common denominator between all these three. This manifests itself in many, 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 many areas of halacha, as we know. But what's relevant to us for the moment is they cannot perform kinyonim. As we've discussed on many occasions, the whole yesod of a kinyon is da'as. If I buy something from you, I lend to you, I deposit with you, I always need das to activate any transaction. If I walk down the street and I find a metzia, I found lost property, which I'm allowed to take, I pick it up, I've got to do a kinyan. If I pick it up and I perform a kinyan, which means I have das to acquire it, so it becomes mine. And if you now take it away, you are over gezel min ha-teira. Even though it's true, I never paid for it, doesn't matter. It's 100% mine. So what about a cheresh shaita v'katan? If one of them was walking down the street and picked up a metzia, what should be the halacha? Well, if they don't have das, then they cannot perform a ma'isa kinyan. And if they cannot perform a ma'isa kinyan, it doesn't really belong to them. And if it doesn't belong to them, then it should be mutter for me to come along and take it away from them. What is in fact the halacha? So look at Rashi. Do'iraisehi, a classic gazan is do'iraise. Why? Al toshes rosho eid. Says Rashi, u'mesechtes gittin. Tanan, we have a Mishnah which says, Metzias cheresh shayta v'kotan. Once again, yesh bohen gezel mipnei darkei shalom. There's not real gezel. There is no issa min ha-Torah to take away property that was found by a cheresh shayta v'kotan. Why not? Because they were never koina. Why were they never koina? Because they can't be koina, because they can't have das. By the way, good quiz question, do we remember? Where is there a very famous halacha, very practical halacha, which is all based on this issue that a katan cannot be koina? That is with regard to Arba Minim on Sukkos. As we know, on the first day of Sukkos, in order to be yotze the mitzvah of Arba Minim, it has to be lochem, it has to belong to you. The question is, what does the cheresh shayta v'katan do? He might not have das, but let's say the katan, for example, is mukhiv, at least with regard to chinuch. A katan cannot perform kinyonim either to be koina or to be makne. So therefore, if you give your little 10-year-old boy your lulav on Sukkot morning, if it belongs to him, then there's no way he can get it back to you. You can't be makne. So it's a whole balagan. If you can't be makne, how are you going to take it back? If you want to now be yotze the mitzvah, it won't be lochem. So you may well ask, well, what was the problem? When I gave it to him, he wasn't koina either. It's a whole big discussion, not our shayla for the moment. But that's a classic case of cheresh shayta v'katan. My uncle, Rav Zanga, Rav Yom Tov Zanga, has a very interesting tshuva that he wrote, Halacha L'maisa, where Rav was selling his chametz on Erev Pesach. And he had hundreds and hundreds of people who had given in their shtar mechira, and he's got a pile of 500 mechiras chametz, and he's arranged with the goy, the Arab who's going to come before the Seif Zman, and it's getting a bit late. Let's say the Seif Zman is, I don't know, 10:30 in the morning, and they've arranged the goy should come at 10, and he hasn't shown up. The Rav's getting very nervous. At 10:15, a little boy turns up and he says, my father is the goy with whom you arranged to sell the chametz. He's not feeling well, so he sent me instead. So he's got a whole very, very, very lengthy tshuva on what do you do next now. You've got 10 minutes before Seif Zman chametz. 500 people are waiting for you to sell their chametz. How can you sell it to a katan, this 10-year-old Arab kid? Didn't we just learn in our Gemara now that a cheresh shayta v'katan cannot perform kinyonim? It's a very complicated shayla. Either way, back to our subject. If a cheresh shayt to the cotton find a metzia, it does not belong to them. Why does it not belong to them? They have no das, they cannot perform kinyonim. So essentially, I should be allowed to take it away. I'm not allowed to do so. Mipnei darkei shalom, says Rashi. What's the darkei shalom? Shaloi yiskoitet. What does yiskoitet mean? There shouldn't be a fight. Oviv, oi kroivov, his father or his relatives. Imagine if your 10-year-old son walks down the road and found 200 shekel. Is he allowed to keep it? Then he comes home crying and says, you wouldn't believe it, I found 200 shekel. And then some adult came up to me and grabbed it out of my hand and took it. Can you imagine the fight that's now going to ensue? Now, essentially, who's correct? The person who grabbed the 200 shekel is correct. He's allowed to take it because the cotton was never koina. But because this is going to cause a very big fight in Klal Yisrael, the father or the relatives, so Chazal said, do not take him mipnei darkei shalom. So it turns out, therefore, when the Braisa added the word gazlonin, what does it mean, gazlon? It doesn't mean an out-and-out thief. I don't need that to be added in the Braisa. So rather, we're talking about a very specific case of metzias cheresh shayt v'katan, which is only mipnei darkei shalom. That's what the Braisa is adding. Now the Gemara needs to explain, so why was it not mentioned in the original Mishnah? And if for whatever reason, indeed, it was not mentioned in the original Mishnah, why indeed, what is included in the Braisa? Says the Gemara, Me'ikar Savur. In the beginning, they held the Metzias Cheresh Shoita V'Katan Loi Shchicha. It's not a very common scenario. How often does it happen that a cheresh shayt v'katan find a metzia and then an adult grabs it away from it? I don't need to make a guy like that posel eidos. It's such a rare scenario. We have a principle that something that's not very, very common, Chazal don't need to make it gzeira. So that's why initially they thought it doesn't need to feature on this list, number one. Number two, inami mipnei darkei shalom ba'alma. Alternatively, they thought, do you know why it doesn't need to be included on the list? For the exact reason that we just stated, because it's not real gezel, it's only darkei shalom. And if it's only darkei shalom, so it's not proper gezel, so maybe it wouldn't render you posel eidos. Why did they change their mind? Kivan de chazu, but then they saw that soif, at the end of the day, mamoina hu de kashokli, he's taking money. And therefore, even though maybe it's not out and out gezel, but there is an act of taking money which should not be done, therefore, paslinu rabbonon, therefore decided to pasel him after all. Look at Rashi. Soif, mamoina shokli v'ovri atakanta de rabono. At the end of the day, why is this guy grabbing the 200 and clearly he doesn't care because he's got a big taiva for money. Machmas chimud momin. He clearly has got a desire for money. If he's got a desire for money, that's what's causing him to take this money away when he shouldn't. Therefore, poslinu de chashidi, because he is suspect now, le mishkel agro, to take some money, vaasudi shikra, and to hire false edim. You see, this guy will take money, sorry, not to hire edim, to be a false aid. If he's got such a big chemda for mammon that he's grabbing money from kids, even though Chazal said you shouldn't, so maybe people will employ him to be a false witness, and he's got such a chemdas momen that he will do so nonetheless. Now, we have to close up over here, but we need to ask a very big question, and Tosfos indeed asks this question. The Braisa has added a case of Metzias Cheresh Shayt V'Katan. And the Gemara explained, why are we adding it? Why did it initially not feature on the list? Either because it's a very rare case, so we thought we don't need to make this guy posseladus, or because of Darkei Shalom. Or because of Darkei Shalom. Darkei Shalom means it's not real gezel. And if it's not real gezel, why should we make him posseladus? So what's the obvious question that we all should have asked on this Gemara? But didn't we learn in the Mishnah, Mafriche Yoinim? And remember, we had two pshatim in Mafriche Yoinim. What was the second pshat in Mafriche Yoinim? Ora. Ora means it's a wild bird, which means it doesn't really belong to me. But if you take it, that's a problem of Gezel Pnei Darkei Shalom. And that did feature in the Mishnah. So how can you tell me that we're not going to put Metzias Chereshet V'Katan in the Mishnah? Because it's only Darkei Shalom. Well, Mafricha Yoinim is also Darkei Shalom. And that features in the Mishnah. So why did they initially think that it should not be mentioned in the Mishnah? Have a look at the top Tosfos quickly. Top Tosfos, Inami Imipni Darkei Shalom. Tema. This is a big wonder. Leman Doma Mafricha Yoinim is Oro. If your whole Mafricha Yoinim is not a bird race, but rather is the case of Oro, which means it's Darkei Shalom in Cain. Mei Koro Nami, from the beginning as well. Psulim Ipnei Darkei Shalom, we always knew, long before the Braisa in the Mishnah already, Chazal have pasled Ipnei Darkei Shalom. So how can you tell me it wasn't included in the Mishnah? Because initially, they didn't want to include Darkei Shalom cases. It's not true. They included Mafricha Yoinim, and that's Darkei Shalom. Says Tosfos, you're quite right. V'yesh loyma, d'ha d'amrinam b'nei Darkei Shalom. When the Gemara now says that the reason why it wasn't included in the Mishnah is because of Darkei Shalom, ka'i alishna, that's referring to the other understanding of Mafricha Yoinim, which is a bird race. According to the opinion that says that Mafricha Yoinim is not Oro, rather it is whose bird will come first, which meaning it's a bird competition. According to that opinion, Darkei Shalom was never mentioned in the Mishnah. If you hold Mafricha Yoinim is Oro, well then you're quite right. Darkei Shalom was always incorporated in the Mishnah. But if you hold the Mafricha Yoinim is a bird race, then Darkei Shalom was never mentioned in the Mishnah. And if it was never mentioned in the Mishnah, that's why we thought that so too Metzias Chereshet V'Katan, which is also Darkei Shalom, has no place in the Mishnah. Because we initially thought that indeed, because it's not out and out Gezel, it does not render a person posseladus. That's why the Braisa came along and added it and said, no, at the end of the day, he is, after all, taking money when he should not, albeit it's not Gezel absolute, but it is Osa Midrabonon, and therefore, on second thoughts, it does become Posseladus as well. Okay, we have to hold it over here. Mr. Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue.